Do you ever watch TV and think, wow, I'm really good at this? You're right. With Rewards on Sling, watching 30 minutes of TV daily gives you chances to win up to $10,000 in cash and other monthly prizes. Sign up for Sling or stream for free with Sling Free Stream to get rewarded for watching TV. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/rewards to learn more and get started. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Visit sling.com/rewards/official-rules for more details.
Make this new school year an opportunity for your kids to learn important life skills with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely while parents keep an eye on kids' money habits. Greenlight also helps families get into their fall routine with a chores feature that lets parents assign chores and pay kids' allowance when they check them off. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod. Greenlight.com/pod.
The Buffalo Bills are 6-2. Welcome into the Overreaction Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter at joemillerwired.com. It is so good that you guys are joining me tonight. The Buffalo Bills are, as I just said, 6-2. And just to put that into a little bit of perspective for you, the last time the Bills were 6-2, it was 1993. So you're probably thinking to yourself, holy crap, that was a long time. It was. And to give you a little more perspective, that was 26 years ago. Which means, if I have to think back myself, I'm 46, so I remember 1993. But if I have to think back myself to like my first set of memories, you're not 26 years old and remembering the Bills being 6-2. You're not 30 years old and remembering the Bills being 6-2. You're probably 35, would be my guess. So put that into perspective just for a moment as we continue our conversation about expectations and where we expected this team to be, who we expect this team was going to be, where we expected them to be at this point of the season. I would say that we expected them to be at 6-2. But for anybody, in my opinion, who's under the age of 35 years old to be upset for seeing their football team, their favorite football team, at 6-2 for the very first time in their lives where they can probably recognize it and remember it, if you're mad tonight, get a grip. I mean, seriously. Don't get me wrong. I got plenty of stuff to talk about that I'm concerned over, things that I'm overreacting to, both good and bad. But I mean, come on. The Bills are 6-2. Got a little bit of an echo. I'm sliding my stuff around here a little bit. 6-2. And the first thing that I want to do before we really kind of dive into this thing is I want to read some tweets that were sent to me at Overreaction Sports, at Overreaction SP1, right after the game. And I'm gonna rocket fire these things to you in no particular order, just kind of giving you where Bills fans are at this evening. At Joe Gowers, I can't pronounce your last name, Joegawrys. First half D was awful. Yes, it was. Second half D actually clamped down, which is good. Only issue is can't do that against a good quarterback. Devin, great. Josh, good, except for the fumble. Dable needs to figure out his shit. And I'm just quoting people, so please don't be offended by me. The next one comes from at Vance Miller 2. Defense scares me with Cowboys and Ravens ahead. I'm coming to the Ravens game. Hope it's figured out by then. Me too, bro. Me too. At Lord Pagula, I feel like we lost. Can't win big games against good teams with that offensive play calling. Also, Edmonds needs a ton of work. He lacks instincts and gets washed out of the play way too easily. Pamela actually responded to his at Pamadonna. Agree. It's great to be 6-2, don't get me wrong, but we are going to have to play a hell of a lot better to beat the Ravens, Dallas, Pats, and tougher teams. She says, with what we have, we should be in the playoffs, not just a wild card contender. And then she put the Ron Burgundy, can I get a amen gif, which I'm with. This is my favorite one. Bills are for real, which is, I love the fact that his handle is at Bills, B-I-L-L-Z, R4, so the letter R for real. All that he put was a gif of the fire dog, the dog gif in the room with the fire burning around him, with the caption that this is fine. So the Bills are for real, but I don't think he's feeling it right now. And the last one that I have for tonight, at Joey V 2988, at Joey V 2988. Listen, do we have a few issues? Of course. Can we make some changes to be more consistent? Hell yes. Are we 6-2 after beating the Redskins 24-9? You better believe it. 6-2, baby. Go Bills. Great, great game. Josh looked awesome, as did Singletary, and the D corrected to stop Adrian Peterson. I'm on it. I'm all about it. I would tell you that that's probably where I am with this game. Nervous is the wrong word. I was concerned, and I wasn't concerned for this game. My feeling was pretty much the same as all of Twitterverse during this football game, which was that what the heck is going on with this defense? And I know we're still going to win this game, right? Isn't that pretty much where you were? Like, there was no moment in this game where the game was out of control or concerning, or there was a point. I mean, yes, it was a one possession game for quite a long time. But for the most part, there was no point in this game where, like, we were concerned that we were going to lose this football game. However, what the D was doing was concerning. But I'm going to get to that in a minute. As we said, the Buffalo Bills are 6-2, beating the Redskins 24-9, which, by the way, I predicted on my Friday show. And you better believe that I'm going to do a victory lap, because I've never done call-out predictions in the sense of where it's like on record and people can go back and listen to what it is that I predicted. But I'm constantly doing, like, just like you guys do, like on Twitter, right? Like, so somebody puts out there, you know, oh, predict the score. And, like, you know, I put a prediction out there and I'm way wrong. I'm wrong, usually wrong to the point where, like, I got the Bills winning and they get smoked, which I'm going to victory lap this all day long. So I predicted the Bills to win 24-9. The only place I was wrong is I thought that we would have a defensive or special teams touchdown. And we almost did. Andre Roberts on that run back, which is funny because McDermott was asked about that run, that him bringing that ball out of the end zone in his presser, and McDermott, I don't want to say he avoided the question. He made a funny. He was in a good mood today, so I don't know if you get a chance to go back and watch his presser. He makes a couple jokes, and at one point, like the media, I don't think we're getting it, and he was like, "Come on, guys, I'm trying to have a little fun here." So I was all about it. But they asked him, somebody asked him, somebody in the crowd, you know, what was the play call, or, you know, what was the call, or, you know, what did you guys say to Andre Roberts, you know, cause he took the ball from 3 yards deep in the end zone. He usually doesn't do that. And, McDermott laughed and said, well, I told him to take the ball and bring it out 50, 60 yards, which was funny. But then he never answered the question. So then he made the quippy, I'm just trying to be funny here, guys. And then kind of, you know, anytime, and then he pulled the coach speak thing, you know, anytime we're bringing the ball out, guys have to do their jobs and people up front have to block, and it takes more than one person and blah, 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 blah. So he never really answered the question, which I found interesting. But I was pretty close on my prediction, 24-9, like I said, with the Bills having a defensive touchdown, which they did not get. So I'm really, really excited about that. I'm potentially going out to play the lottery this week. I think it's time. I think this time next week, if I win the lottery like I think I will, I might be buying a radio station. So who knows? Maybe this whole thing, the stars are lining this whole thing up for me, like, for this reason. So we'll see what happens. I'll keep you guys posted. So as I'm sitting here and I'm drinking a Genesee beer, and I'm not a big Genesee fan, to be honest with you. It was a beer that was left in my fridge by a friend. Some of you are like, that's not a very good friend. But I love my buddy Matt Makowitz, who is on Twitter. I think his handle is at Flagus, F-L-A-G-G-U-S. He left me a couple beers, so this is my last Jenny that he left in the fridge. So that's what I'm drinking tonight. And I just want to bring some perspective to this football game. Because as I was watching this game, and as I was going through and sweating some bullets, as I think a lot of you were right there with me, and judging by what I saw on Twitter, it's true. I mean, you know, I judge the world, Bills Mafia and people in general. It's like politics. It's like the 80-20 rule. So you got the 80%ers in the middle, and we're all kind of like in the middle together, but we're a little bit, that doesn't mean we're all on the same page, right? And then you've got the 10 extreme people on the one side and the 10 extreme people on the other side that all scream the loudest. So you get the tenors, the 20% that are the 10 on the right, 10 on the left, that have the loudest voice, do the most screaming, tweet the most, say the most ridiculous things. So whether it's the Bills to the Super Bowl guy or girl, or I can't believe how bad this team sucks. Yeah, we won 50-0, but Josh Allen sucks. This defense sucks. So as I'm watching this football game, I'm in the middle. I'm an 80%er, and I think I'm pretty right in the middle of the 80%ers. Like, I am not leaning left or leaning right at all, I don't think. Maybe sometimes I get nervous. Sure, the game, I get angry. I'm over the days. I stopped yelling at the TV and throwing stuff at the TV probably 10, 15 years ago. But I get angry, and I cheer, and I clap my hands real loud, and my daughter makes fun of me for it. But as I bring perspective to this game, as I rethink this game and I rethink my notes from this game, I want to ask you guys a question. And there's a lot of interaction in my podcasts that never gets followed through because I ask a lot of questions, right? If you're listening to me, and if you have been listening to me for any amount of time, I think this might be my 8th podcast, or I don't know, I'm somewhere around there. I ask you to ask yourself questions. Because I think the easiest way, I'm a big fan and a big student of leadership, and I think that the easiest way to bring somebody to the reality of the truth or the reality of a situation, or to get them to land where you want to land, is to lead them there and have them discover it on their own. And you do that, generally speaking, by asking questions. So all that to say this. Are we ready to admit that there is a book out on our defense? Are we ready to admit that there is a plan on how to beat this defense on the ground? Now, I know that execution is important, and I know that, you know, scheme is important, and I know that run fits are important, and then I know that discipline is, you know, gap discipline is important. But let's be honest. If it happens once, it's potentially a mistake. If it happens twice, it's concerning. If it happens 3 times, it's a trend for sure. So if you want to chalk it up to execution, if you want to chalk it up to gap assignment and discipline issues, it doesn't matter what you chalk it up to. It's still a problem. And other teams are going to come against this football team game planning because they know that we don't execute well, that we miss gap assignments, that we get stuck in the fray and peeled off of our blocks or peeled off of our lanes easily. This is concerning. So that's my question tonight. Are we ready to admit that there's potentially a book on this defense? I was in conversations with people this past week on Twitter, people that are smarter than me, X's and O's people. And you know, Twitter is Twitter, and people get snarky and people get, I don't want douchey, right? I mean, and there's always the reality that if somebody asks you a question on Twitter, so me being the asker of the question, that the other person feels like they're being attacked, specifically if they are a person who generally puts knowledge out there that's generally right. I mean, way more right than wrong. But I got challenged by a couple different people this week that what we saw in the Miami game and what we saw in the Eagles game as it pertains to the run defense had nothing to do with each other, that there was no book, that the games were not similar, that they did different things. And then we come into this game in the first half of this football game, and what do we see? The same exact thing. Adrian Peterson looked like he was reborn today. So are we ready to admit that there might be a book on this defense. And if you're not, that's fine. And you might not be because of what you saw in the second half. But that speaks to a quote from Jason Taylor, the great Miami Dolphins defensive end, who I hated when he played football, who said, the Bills defense needs to stack the line of scrimmage and tell Dwayne Haskins, hey, throw on us. And that's exactly what the Bills did. They made adjustments, which is great. And it worked. I think Adrian Peterson had almost 100 yards on the ground in the first half, and I think he had less than 10 in the second half, right? So, yes, there was some adjustments made, and there was some ground that was made up, and it seems like we fixed some things. But Leslie Frazier came out this past week in his conference and said, or in his presser, and said, hey, we had a conversation. We got together and talked. We had some heart-to-hearts in there and bro'd up and hugged, called each other out probably a little bit about gap assignments and just discipline and doing your job, but we got it figured out. We got it fixed. No, you didn't. You didn't. And I'm seeing all over Twitter about how much this team is potentially missing Harrison Phillips, which I think I'm in that camp. Because to be honest with you, before Harrison Phillips got hurt, there was a great amount in me of, I'm not so sure Harrison Phillips is as good as Kyle. And then Harrison Phillips gets hurt, and good Lord. So are we ready to admit and recognize this defense may have a major flaw? And that major flaw is in one of the most concerning places in a defense, which is straight up the middle. And right now it's one that teams are exploiting. And they're winning. Not necessarily winning games. Obviously, we beat the Dolphins and we beat the Redskins, two horrible football teams. But they're beating us up the middle. Out of four halves, actually six halves, if you include the Eagles, five of those halves, we were beaten up the middle. And I want this to land with you, this next question. Are you ready to admit that this defense just may be more of a concern than Josh Allen? Because I am. I'm a big, you've heard, if you've been listening to this podcast for more than three episodes, I am the guy three or four episodes ago, maybe five episodes ago, said, with this defense, it is a luxury for Josh Allen that he needs to take advantage and exploit. Because of the defense that we have, Josh Allen can go out there and chuck the football any place that he wants. And if he throws three interceptions a football game, we could potentially still win because this defense is going to hold opposing teams under 10 points. Not so sure anymore. The good news is Josh Allen is not throwing interceptions either. Or I should say he's not throwing interceptions anymore. Either was the wrong word there. But he also looks like a caged animal. Like, Josh Allen has been neutered, in my opinion, but that's a topic for another day. So, Adrian Peterson today averaged 9 yards a carry in the first half, and in the second half, he only had, I think he had less than 10 yards. But this is what I want you to think about when you're thinking about perspective and expectations and ugly wins. And we talked about in the last episode, ugly wins generally mean ugly losses. And let's be honest, this wasn't exactly a gloriously beautiful, pretty win. It wasn't ugly, but it wasn't glorious. Our next five games feature running backs with the names Nick Chubb, Philip Lindsay, Ezekiel Elliott, and the running back, Lamar Jackson. And, oh, by the way, a Dolphins team that gashed us, and if we're ready to admit that there's a book on our defense, is the team that wrote that book. So we're 6-2 right now, and we're flying high. It's the first time we've been 6-2 since 1993, and you should be excited. You should call into work tomorrow and not go in if you are under the age of 26 and celebrate all day long. Because I hope to God it doesn't take another 26 years to get to 6-2 again. Because this might be our Super Bowl. That's a joke. I don't believe that. But you need to come to some sort of expectation or grip with what we're seeing with our eyes as it pertains to this defense and the reality that if it doesn't get fixed, 1-4 in the next five games is not outside a realistic expectation. Because these guys are good, and some of them have good quarterbacks. So these guys are good, and they're not the Washington Redskins. I would not tell you that I'm a Browns fan. However, I have mad love from the 13 years that I spent in Columbus, Ohio for the Browns and Browns fans. I feel like we are kindred spirits. We are brothers of the same mother, if that makes any sense. And I'm not a big fan of Baker Mayfield. I love some of his swag. But Nick Chubb is the real deal. Baker Mayfield isn't Dwayne Haskins or Ryan Fitzpatrick. And the Browns are definitely not the Redskins. So this game should concern you, this next week's game. And it's away. So that's my perspective on the Bills' defense. And if you want to call that overreaction, you can. But I don't think I'm overreacting to it. I got some things that I'm actually overreacting to tonight, things that I'm either excited about or pissed about. But what about the offense, Joe? You're just a homer. You never say anything about the offense. So what about the offense? I thought, perspective-wise, speaking of the offense, I think we're all getting to the same place on Brian Daboll. And I think that there's a genuinely large concern for Daboll's play calling. But it's not just Daboll. It's the execution by this offense kind of all the way around. Looped in with what I just said a couple minutes ago, that Josh Allen, for a lot of reasons, looks to me like, you know, a dog on a leash. And not a very big leash. So there was a great the second drive of the football game was an incredible drive, and there was a great sequence that got us all the way down to the 2 yard line. And you guys all know what I'm talking about, because as soon as we got down there, it was like, whoa, who's scoring the touchdown? We're going up 14-0. And then the wheels came off. Completely came off. Three consecutive plays, three major yardage losses on those three plays. That's concerning. This team, this offensive team, is the biggest, rhythm-killingest, shot-myself-in-the-footnest offensive team I think I've seen in a long time. Like, it is hard. Sometimes it seems like they're not only playing the defense, they're not only playing the weather, but they're playing against themselves too sometimes. Now, they corrected a lot of the penalties today, which is great. But man, how many times are we going to see this? But the Daboll play calling stuff, like, I mean, how many times are you going to run the ball up the middle with Frank Gore and he gets 0 yards before you stop making that play call? I mean, we have an off-tackle play, don't we? Oh, yeah, we do, because Singletary ran it at the end of the game to score the last touchdown. Huh, how about that? Where was that play? And I think that from a perspective standpoint and expectations, you know, we hear a lot of good speak and a lot of good words from our head coach talking about getting things corrected and getting things fixed. And I think one of the most important things that he said in that press conference, and it had to do with the run plays up the gut straight at the teeth of their defense that we could not execute. Somebody called him out on that or just asked a question, what was the thinking by continuing to go to that play? You're going to the well if you're ripping off big gains. You're not going to the well if you're getting nothing. You're basically just shooting yourself in the foot. And McDermott basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, said that, you know, the offensive line's job, that interior of the offensive line, their job is to push people off the ball, to move them off the ball. And if they're not doing that, that's unacceptable. However, he has to look at the tape. But I don't think he's going to be surprised when he sees the tape. So I would tell you that this Daboll play calling thing is concerning. I think that Josh Allen has things that he excels at. I think that he has things that he does well. I think this offense has things that they do well and things that they excel at. But I'm not sure that Dable is playing to the strengths of his players. One thing I'm not worried about is Frank Gore. He had a bad game. So what? And I'm not worried at all about Josh Allen. So a lot of you are. A lot of you are. Quick stats for you guys real quick if you don't know. And I'm just going to hit them real quick. So I don't really care about the Redskins stats. I'm going to give you the Bills stats. Josh Allen today was 14 of 20. I think it's 70%, like 110 passer rating for 160 yards, one touchdown. Obviously, we wanted to see Josh Allen chuck the ball. They didn't do it today. I didn't expect them to do it today. I expected them to feature the run, which they did. 20, 31, 39 carries. So we had 39 carries on the ground versus 20 passing attempts. I think what's odd about that is the fact that we expected them to run the ball last week in the hurricane, and they didn't. Ugh. Devin Singletary, what a day, right? So he is one of my, I'm just beaming about this kid. Finally, I called for it on Friday, and finally we got it. 20 carries, 95 yards, 4.8 average with a touchdown. Frank Gore had a rough day, 11 of 15 for 1.4. And then Josh Allen was 8 of 12 for 1.5, which is not a great Josh Allen number. John Brown continues to do it. I think that's 8 straight games with 50 yards receiving. Next week, if he goes to 9, he ties. Oh, who was it? I can't remember who I saw that he ties. Bummer. It might have been Eric Moulds for rushing yards. Or, I'm sorry, receiving yards in the season. Sorry, I got distracted by a blinking thing on my computer. But now what I want to do is I want to transition, because we're getting ready to wrap this thing up. It's going to be a little bit of a shorter podcast. And I think I might get you in under 30 minutes. How about that? Things that I'm overreacting to, things that I'm excited about, things that I'm not excited about, things that I'm just overly emotional about. The first one is absolutely the same thing that you guys are overreacting to, which is Devin Singletary. We finally saw the kid. Humble. Hungry, that was kind of the two words of the day coming out of that locker room. The kid just lit it up today. He was on fire. I mean, he was slippery. He was shifty. He was hard to get a hold of. He's tiny. He's thick. He's fast. The screenplay, goodness, where did that come from? It's like Brian Dable saw the 75 successful screenplays that the Eagles ran against us last week and was like, oh, what's that play? That's kind of cool. And like, and then they practiced it and kind of mimicked it or tried to figure out a way to mimic it. And then they pulled off that 49-yard screenplay with Devin Singletary with the three big cats out in front of him blocking for him. That was a thing of beauty. Devin had a fantastic day, and I am excited to see more of this kid. I think I saw somebody tweet earlier just that, they want the Bills to draft another like heavy back next year in the draft just to kind of have somebody to offset, Devin. It might not be a bad idea, just, a bruiser type of guy. But I'm really excited about Devin Singletary. I think you guys are too, which is cool. I absolutely loved going for it on fourth and goal from whatever it was, the half-yard line with Josh Allen. The best part about that play was when Frank Gore got stuffed for the third time, the camera was focused on Josh Allen as he was looking at the sideline, and there was no doubt. They knew they were going for it on fourth down. They knew they were in four down territory, which might speak to a little bit of why they did three downs straight up the middle. But they knew. And what I loved about it specifically was the fact that they leveraged Josh Allen's skill set. So my guess is I was expecting them to go over the top of Josh, which was probably the same thing you were expecting, but he squeaked into the left, which is fine. I don't give a crap. He hit pay dirt. But I love that they were confident in Josh and they leveraged his ability and got him into the end zone. I loved that they leveraged like rushing averages. If you look at rushing averages in general, there's no way they're going to get stopped four times in a row from the half yard line. It's just not going to happen. And I think what I love the most from a confidence standpoint, and whether the confidence is in Josh and the confidence is in the offense and the confidence is in the defense that they have, but then it's also the confidence in the guy on the other side of the line is the fact that they leverage the reality that there's a rookie quarterback, Dwayne Haskins, playing against them who, if they do get stopped on a fluke, that this kid is going to have to play from his end zone. So for me, that was just an incredibly awesome sequence of events. I absolutely loved it. Give me more of that confidence, right? I mean, I want to see more yards out of it. I don't want to see, it's one thing to get beaten three times and get, no gain with three different plays, but when it's pretty much the same exact play three times in a row, it's like, what? I don't know if it's unnecessary roughness or the replacements, where it's like, I think they've seen that play, soldier. It's unnecessary roughness. Or I think we've run that play, and then the quarterback says they haven't seen us do it yet. They haven't seen us execute it yet. But that's, I'm a movie buff and I do movie quotes a lot. So sorry if that didn't land with some of you guys. I'm sorry. Things I'm not happy about, Corey Bohorquez. Dude, could you just, how many of you did not instantly get a picture of Corey Bohorquez flexing after that lucky, we're going to call it lucky, because he doesn't do that as much as he does what he did today, that lucky punt he had last week. What a joke. I would love to work for the Buffalo Bills. It's like a dream job. And I want to know what dirt he has on either the Pegulas, Brandon Bean, or Sean McDermott. Because the kid is the worst punter in the NFL. And I'm not saying that based on emotion. I'm saying that based on statistics. I gave him to you a couple weeks ago. He is the worst punter in the NFL. Enough is enough. I mean, seriously, and then Bean told us that, like, I think, didn't he tell us a couple weeks ago that, like, they evaluate every position every week and blah, blah, blah? Enough is enough. No, he didn't hurt it. Well, yeah, but Joe, he punted the ball 15 yards, but it didn't hurt us. No, it didn't hurt us. It's going to hurt us against the Browns. It's going to hurt us against Fitzmagic. It's going to hurt us against every other team in the NFL except for Dwayne Haskins and the Washington Redskins. Yikes. All right, I'm going to wrap this thing up. The last thing I want to talk to you about is Josh Allen. I told you guys in the last episode on Friday that I'm done defending him to people who just don't want to see it. The 10%ers on the other side that are going to hate him no matter what. I'm excited about this kid even still. I mean, he did not have statistically a great game, but he played a near errorless game. He obviously put the ball on the ground. I did not want to say the word, the phrase that Josh Allen has a fumbling problem, but I'm ready to say it today. I told you guys that as I was ready to say things, I'd say them, and I'm ready to say that Josh has a problem with ball security. He's fumbled the ball, is it 8 times, 9 times, lost 3. Thank God he's only lost 3. But I'm excited for what I see in this kid even still today. The kid is a gunslinger. I tweeted this. The kid's a gunslinger. Let him sling the ball. What are we doing? There's almost this world of balance that they need to be kind of breeding into Josh Allen. So Josh Allen needs to play what I would call a centered football game. So he needs to have those rhythm times, the times where he's in a rhythm, the ball's coming out fast, the plays are coming in good, they're effective. Getting the ball out as quick as he can to open receivers. I don't mind. He throws into traffic all the time. I love it. I love the fact that he challenges the defensive backs, that he challenges the linebackers. But then there's those times that they need to give him the ability or the opportunity to Aaron Rodgers the football or Brett Favre the football. Like just, and he did it in this game. There was the one play that broke down. It was the ball that John Brown dropped. And it happens. I mean, it's a big deal. Receivers drop balls. So what? Quarterbacks miss throws. I mean, it's just one of those things. But, like, that was a broken play. He sprints out. Like, he had a free rusher in his face, sprints out to his right, and, like, put the ball on the money. But that's the Josh Allen that we're missing. Like, where is that kid? He's a gunslinger. Let him throw the football. Stop reining him in. Stop. He is at his best when he balances, these are in my notes, when he balances conservatism and backyard football. And right now you're shaking your head, yeah, that's true. And then you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, how's that possible? How can you balance conservatism and backyard football? It can be done. Aaron Rodgers does it almost every weekend. I'm not asking him to go out there and be crazy, man, and literally chuck the ball all over the field. But this kid is good when he's in a rhythm offense. And he's really good when he's working off of that rhythm offense into backyard football. I loved Bruce Nolan. For those of you that listen to other podcasters or just see, I'm sure the majority of you follow Bruce. Bruce is It's at Bruce Exclusive, I think, is his handle. He just tweeted not long ago, like a half hour, 45 minutes ago, just before I started recording this. He tweeted that, how good does it feel? I'm paraphrasing. How good is it? I guess I can probably read it. Hang on a second. Let me pull my phone up. Sorry, I got a noodle back because I retweeted it. No, I didn't. I screen captured it. Pardon me as I take weird time out of your day. Right here, Bruce Nolan. 100%, the best thing about having Josh Allen as your quarterback is that third and long isn't a death sentence for the drive. Dude, I know you're with me. Well, no, because there's 10% of you that probably aren't. There's 10% of you that are basically party poopers and that rain on parades and piss on things. But if you're like me, so if you're the other 90%, being third and 8, third and 12, third and 15 doesn't scare me to death. Like, I'm actually confident that it's going to work, that we're going to, somebody's going to do a deep dig route or something, and somebody's going to be open, and he's going to complete that pass. Like, he shows over and over and over again that this is something that he can do. That should make you excited. Right up there with his ability to bring his team back from behind and win football games. Josh Allen is clutch when he needs to be. Clutch. Another thing I'm excited about Josh Allen for. Great quarterbacks always know, can recognize, and take advantage of defensive backs and linebackers who are not paying attention, who don't know where the ball is, who are in pursuit of a receiver. Josh Allen is that same guy. He did it twice today. He did it once on the Devin Singletary incomplete pass, and then he did it again on the deep ball to John Brown. The defensive back had no idea where the ball was. The ball was even coming, couldn't find it. Josh knew it and threw the ball. I want to see more of that. I want to see so much more of that. That is so savvy for a quarterback to do. So we're getting glimpses, right? We're seeing things. The monkey is still on his back, though. Two deep balls today. The one was weird off his foot. The other one could have been pass interference, and he thought that he had a free play. That monkey's still there, but we are getting glimpses of something that could be. This is the problem. This is the difference. There's no point. There has not been a point yet where Josh Allen has Tyrod Taylored us, where Josh Allen has Trent Edwards'd us, where Josh Allen has Fitzy'd us, where it's like six games in a row, and it's like those last six games all look the same. This is it. This is the guy. This is the quarterback. He's going to be. He will never be better than that. Josh Allen continues to show us glimpses of things inside of the small sample that he's given, that there's a ceiling there that has not been reached yet. And I'm here for it. Totally here for it. I love talking to you guys. The Buffalo Bills are 6-2. Go out and celebrate. Enjoy Sunday evening. There's a good football game on tonight. Next week, we're headed into Cleveland, into Browns Stadium. I don't know how many of you are going. I was supposed to go. I was supposed to meet a bunch of my Browns fans there, but it ended up not happening for us this year. But I'm really excited about next week's game. It should be a really good challenge for us. My guess is when I left downstairs, or I should say when I left the television, the Browns were losing to the Broncos. So If they're not desperate, they're going to be really desperate, and it's always that, you know, backing an animal into the corner, a hungry animal into the corner, which is where we're probably going to be next week with the Browns. So with that, I'm going to let you guys go. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. This was an Overreaction Sunday. My name is Joe Miller. I'm the host. Thank you so much for listening to the Overreaction Sports Podcast. You can find me at Joe Miller Wired. Love you guys as always. We'll talk to you guys soon, probably on Friday. Go Bills.
Mike Tirico here with some of the 2024 Team USA athletes. What's your message for the team of tomorrow?
To young athletes, never forget why you started doing it in the first place. You have to pursue something that you're passionate about.
Win, lose, or draw, I'm always going to be the one having a smile on my face. finding joy in why you do it keeps you doing it.
Be authentic, be you, and have fun.
Joy is powering Team USA during the Olympic and Paralympic Games. Comcast is proud to be bringing that inspiration home for the team of tomorrow.
Building a business may feel like a big jump, but OnDeck Small Business Loans can help keep you afloat. With lines of credit up to $100,000 and term loans up to $250,000, OnDeck lets you choose the loan that's right for your business. As a top-rated online small business lender, OnDeck's team of loan advisors can help you find the right business loan to fit your needs. Visit OnDeck.com for more information. Depending on certain loan attributes, your business loan may be issued by OnDeck or Celtic Bank. OnDeck does not lend in North Dakota. All loans and amounts subject to lender approval.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off Duration products and SuperDeck stains from August 23rd through the 26th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
What kind of day is it? It's a White Claw day. Light and refreshing tasting, uniquely cold way filtered. There's an iconic flavor for everyone. Come on, grab a pack. White Claw. Grab life by the claw. Please drink responsibly. Hard seltzer with flavor. White Claw seltzer works Chicago, Illinois.